This is our normal pattern. We'll have a devotion that's focused on our memory verse for the month. So if we can turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3, we'll have our text there today. Philippians chapter 3. And as we've been going over this month, our memory verse out of Philippians chapter 3 is verse 7. So maybe we can begin by going through this, reading it together aloud, beginning and ending with the reference. Philippians 3, 7. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Philippians 3, 7. So Paul writes here of gain and loss. And one of the questions that I hope we can answer tonight is gain and loss toward what objective? Right? The contrast here, though, highlights an important change in his thinking, a change in how he values various aspects of his life, and a change in from whose perspective the value of those elements should be viewed. Now, when we're thinking about a verse in the book of Philippians here, it's important to remember that the context here is that Paul is writing to believers in Philippi, and he's under house arrest in the city of Rome at the point that he's writing this. And if we remember the book of Acts, Philippi is the place where Paul and Silas were originally imprisoned for preaching the gospel. It's where they were released from jail by a miraculous earthquake, where that led to the opportunity to share the gospel with and lead the Philippian jailer ultimately to faith in Christ. And so, imprisonment is something that Paul has been familiar with both in his ministry in Philippi as well as in the present moment as he's under house arrest in Rome. So while verse 7 is our memory verse, let's look back, first of all, a little further to verse 2, where we see Paul warn the Philippian believers against the religious antagonists and legalizers that seek to put these Gentile believers under the law. Verse 2, he has some fairly unfavorable descriptions of these individuals, and he says, "Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the mutilation." So here the warning is against these religious unnamed troublemakers. The way we word things in our daily lives can clearly have positive or negative connotations. And he uses the term here, mutilation, to refer to the Jews that sought to put the Gentile believers under the law by compelling them to follow the Jewish rite of circumcision in adherence to the Mosaic law. But the contrast here then, in verse 3, he says, we are the circumcision. So while he uses a derisive term for the Jews that advocated for circumcision, he says, for we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. So he uses we are the circumcision with a positive connotation here, and the phrase really refers to Christians that are separated from the unclean multitude and truly consecrated to God. Right? That's how he's using the circumcision here in verse 3. So what do we see in verse 3 here that is true of these believers? Right? They worship God in the Spirit. They rejoice in Christ Jesus, and they have no confidence in the flesh. Right? Now, I think what Paul's getting at here, really principally, is this last one, where he says, we have no confidence in the flesh. He continues on in verse 4, and he provides some context about himself. He says, though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. So here Paul identifies the aspects of his life about which his perspective has been changed. he lays out a case here that makes him a very respected individual in the religious society of the nation of Israel. He would have been respected because of his education. He would have had a position of visibility and power and influence. He would have been a notable religious figure in his day, perhaps even considered a celebrity in a religious society like Israel. If they had done a list that was the who's who in Israel, or 40, the top 40 under 40 most influential people in Israel, like, this is the kind of list that Paul would have been on, right? He was a person of influence and significance. You know, in our society, he might have been the nominee for a high political office. He had everything that the most aspiring Jewish man of his day would want. He had the opportunity to live the best life. He was living the dream from the perspective of the Jewish society. And yet, so he says, if anyone could have confidence in the flesh, I'm the top of the heap, right? Like, I was as good as it got. And then we see verse 7. He says, but what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. So here we see that Paul counted these things that would have made him among the most important and influential people in the nation of Israel, where the average Jew of that day would have looked at him and said, of all the people we know, the most likely one to be receiving God's favor would be Paul. Right? And he counted these things as a loss, and he suffered loss, right? He lost all of that influence, all of the affluence, all of the convenience he could have had in life. And his perspective was so changed that he no longer counted those things as gain, but as loss. He counted them as rubbish, it says. The very things that distinguished him positively in religious Jewish society, he called loss and trash. Why? Right. Paul lays out that his objective here with this change in his viewpoint was namely that he should gain Christ and be found in him, which obviously is positionally done, but practically in process through sanctification. And that he would know Christ and his power and his fellowship, and ultimately fulfill the purpose for which Christ had saved him. Continuing on in verse 12, it says, not that I have already attained or I'm already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule and be of the same mind. Right? So, Paul viewed all of these positive religious aspects of his life, these opportunities for prominence in the society of Israel, as nothing but obstacles towards him actually achieving the purpose for which the Lord had saved him. And he was willing to give up all of those things that most people in the Jewish society would have aspired to in order that he might fulfill that purpose for which his Savior had called him. You know, he closes the chapter, jumping ahead, with a reminder that our citizenship is in heaven. You know, and citizenship is top of mind, especially in an election year, right? There's lots of discussions about citizenship, right? And who's here that's a citizen and who's not a citizen and what responsibilities we have as citizens and what we're going to do with our votes as citizens. And he had the perspective here that his citizenship was in heaven. Jumping ahead to verse 20, he says, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." You know, in a year like this, there are a lot of people that are eagerly waiting for the results of the election in November, right? Other people are dreading them, right, on a daily basis, right? But Paul looked forward here with eagerness towards the opportunity to be with his Savior. Because while he lived in the present, right, while he'd had all of these advantages in Jewish society, he really counted them as nothing. And he just looked forward with longing to fulfill his purpose and to be with his Savior. So let's consider this in our own lives, right? What are the areas of success or natural ability or opportunities for recognition that you have in your life? They might be personal or financial. It might involve success in business or advancement in your profession or your education or your family, or even it could be something involved in religious practice. Like Paul, let's recognize that any of these areas of gain that we have, success or strength, if they create an impediment to fulfilling the purpose for which Christ has saved us, they should be viewed as a loss or even as rubbish that we might better fulfill his good, acceptable, and perfect will for our lives. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this passage. We thank you for the opportunity to look in your word together tonight, Lord. And we thank you for your Son. We thank you that he has a perfect plan for us, Lord, and that he has called us from whatever context we come from, whatever walk of life, whatever strengths and abilities we have, Lord. And he's called us in spite of us, Lord, to have his will be fulfilled in us through his strength and his gifting and his enablement, Lord. I pray that we would not be occupied with the things of this world that are very tempting and alluring at times, Lord, if we focus on them, but that we could be remembering above all, Lord, that our citizenship is in heaven, that we could count any barriers to us living with a mindset in the heavenlies with you, that we could count that as loss and rubbish, Lord, that we would set aside those obstacles that would hold us back from a life of service for you, Lord. And we just ask this all in Christ's name.